Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 116.
This week on the podcast, Israel and Hamas are really going for this whole war thing, and they're hellbent on killing as many innocent civilians as possible.
It's Rick Reagan-lover Perry versus Rand Emperor of Isolationism Paul in a foreign policy op-ed deathmatch.
In other Rick Perry news, he's a child-hating horrible racist.
Sarah Palin cooks up a tasteless impeachment word salad. Eric Holder chews it up and spits it out.
And John Boehner wants to sue over Obama's late implementation of the healthcare law that he voted over 50 times to scrap entirely.
We now have proof of what Republican lawmakers feared the most. Obamacare works, and even their wingnut constituents enjoy quality, affordable healthcare.
And speaking of healthcare, do not, we repeat, do not get your medical advice from demon-obsessed, wacko Pat Robertson.
It's good advice. We'll have all this and more.
This is Brain Trust Live. Hey guys, I'm Brent.
I'm Lila, and you can find us on the web at www.braintrustlive.com.
Do it.
Do that.
Yep.
Find us on all the social media. We say this every week. You should just go ahead and do that.
Yeah. We shouldn't have to be telling you.
That's right. We shouldn't need to keep reminding you about this. And yet here we are, faithfully returning week after week to tell you about
that's
this.
That's right.
It's Monday.
It is.
So we didn't record this weekend, as we promised you we wouldn't.
Yep.
And now we're going to post this, and then you'll have it on Tuesday. And
right.
Life will just sort of continue on.
You're going to like it.
You're going to love it. This is going to be one great podcast, because it's almost entirely foreign policy news that we don't want to be talking about. And it begins with soccer.
Yeah.
Something I never want to be talking
about. It's over. Well, you don't have
Thank
to for
God.
Another 4 years.
Oh, my God.
Because the World Cup is over, and we can all go back to pretending... Like,
that we don't
like soccer.
Yeah.
Because after, we're not pretending. We don't have to pretend anymore.
No.
We can stop pretending like we liked it is
exactly.
What we're going to do.
And now we can be back to
the
truth.
Right.
The
As
truth.
If all of America is going to suddenly start immediately watching Major League Soccer.
Not
no,
going to happen.
It's not,
not
going to happen.
Thing.
We don't have to care. It's like all other Olympic sports. It's like, when do you... We're not going to be...
Did you watch Luge last year on television?
No.
No, of course not. You watched it this year because the Olympics were this year.
That's right.
That's how things
that's
are.
Soccer.
That's soccer.
Bless
for
its
you.
Heart.
Bless its heart. Also, didn't you say that someone in your office referred to it as football today?
I really let somebody having her for calling it
you,
football
they
today.
They deserve
because
it.
Because just don't be doing
don't
that.
Don't be
like,
doing
I
that.
I get that that's what the rest of the world calls it,
but
we
you
have
know
football, and it's called football, and we are in America, and it's called soccer, and that's what you should call
we're speaking
it.
A language of words that we've agreed mean certain things here in America.
Correct. Soccer.
Whether or not those words are the same as the words that they choose to use in the rest of the English-speaking world are sort of not the point.
That's correct.
He was an American person speaking to you, another American person.
That's right.
It wasn't like he was a British person.
No.
That
and he was really...
When British people talk about soccer,
he was really sticking
me.
Up for his choice, too, and I just
no,
wasn't going to let
no,
him
no, 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 no,
nope.
no. Not a thing. Get on board, people.
Anyway,
speak the English of your forefathers.
Right. They played soccer.
Exactly.
And so do you.
That's
you
right.
You don't, because...
You don't play soccer. We're in America. We don't play that sport.
Right, exactly. But Germany does.
Yes,
and
Germany
they won.
Does.
They and they beat Argentina,
around.
So everybody, of course,
the,
had to...
The Nazi World Cup.
Exactly. Everybody, of course, had to post, "Don't cry for me, Argentina," as soon
right.
as the game was over with. Because
there were also a number of hilarious Nazi jokes on Twitter. It was, like, all
oh,
Nazi
really?
All the time. Germany probably hates being Germany in these circumstances, but it was especially difficult because they were playing Argentina, which
right.
is where all the other Nazis are. So it was just, like... It was like, no, people just, like, couldn't contain themselves.
Right, no.
The number of, like, totally distasteful Holocaust jokes that made the rounds of the internet
terrible.
Were just, like, you couldn't, who could help themselves?
Well, right.
That, like, that's who would be playing who
yeah,
else
in, the,
in order
like
to make a Nazi
bowl.
Joke. It's the Holocaust Bowl. That's,
yikes.
That, well,
it's
you
not
could,
good.
No, of course it's not good. It was all over
take
Twitter,
that
though.
Back. I just,
it was all over Twitter.
Let's
we couldn't help
that.
Ourselves. We're not gonna apologize for making the same dumb joke that the rest of the internet
right,
made.
Great, good.
We're just gonna know that it was
as
distasteful
long as I didn't make it
and
up.
Move on.
Okay, good.
You didn't
right.
make it up. You
okay,
saw
good.
It. You saw
good.
It.
Good. Okay.
Meanwhile, this was a complicated week for foreign policy. It was a mess. The biggest mess right now is going on in Israel, where they're like totally bombing the shit out of a bunch of people in the Gaza Strip because Hamas has been sending rockets over.
Right.
This has been, I think, some of the sort of scariest, the scariest, like, within Israel kind of, like, rocket warnings and things. Because even people in, like, Tel Aviv are getting warnings. Of course, all of the casualties are on the Palestinian side.
Right.
So everyone has
been... Israelis have died
No Israelis have died yet. There have been a couple of injuries. There are, I think... there are over 175 Palestinians dead 80% are civilians, 20% were children, and there's a ton of people displaced already.
Yeah, they're just doing some indiscriminate killing, basically.
Indiscriminate killing. Bren can attest to the fact that I've been at my wit's end all week. Because as an American progressive, you from New York especially,
right.
You sort of get an interesting version of events when Israel goes a-bombing. and one of the things that becomes very difficult for me is that a lot of what I see posted on my Facebook page is egregiously one-sided in a very rapidly pro-Israel direction.
Right.
And understandably, a lot of, you know, I know a lot of people who have family in Israel, who spent happy summers in Israel. I grew up in New York City.
Yeah, of course, on some
level, I know is fucking Jewish.
Right?
I mean, like, I certainly understand that. But I also have a very difficult time, I think, in any war, and especially in one that we're not directly involved in, making the case that, like, some civilian lives are more valuable than other civilian lives. And what you see happen a lot in the Middle East, because I also have, you know, connections to the Middle East. My parents lived in the Middle East, and this is...
Well,
and I also grew up with people whose families were from the Middle East.
Well, and Lebanon right now is in a real
shitstorm itself. Exactly.
With Syria, right? Sort of like along that border.
No,
like
that's...
It's not going great there, either.
And one thing that I think I learned while my parents were living in the Middle East is that, you know, the sort of main difference there is that these groups like Hamas are not under government control. These are civilian groups, or not civilian groups, but these are like sort of like independent groups that are operating outside of government control. And there are bad governments that are supporting them, and there are good governments that are not supporting them.
Right.
But they're acting crazy regardless.
Well, right, and that's the thing. Actually,
Like every Palestinian has voted to send rockets to Israel.
Well, and that's the thing. And I heard I heard an interesting story from a reporter on NPR who was there, and that's what she said. If you get any sort of sense on the ground from civilians there, it's anger at their government.
Yeah.
Not Hamas, the government that they have elected.
No, exactly, because they can't control Hamas.
Because they can't control Hamas. So you're really sort of seeing like this real dichotomy within that region right there, because they're not necessarily pissed at Israel. I mean, they probably
are.
Pissed
at Israel, too.
Because that's what you are when you are in the region. But I mean, like, they're also really angry at their own government, because, like, they're not trying to be, like, in a war-torn country and be getting bombed by Israel at every moment.
And this is, like, they have... The difference in resources is astounding. The difference in... You know, like, Israelis have bomb shelters. They have systems in place. They have this, like, crazy, like, you know, rocket-stopping, you know, technology.
Yeah.
They had one drone that...
The Iron Dome.
They had, like, one drone that flew in there, and it was, like, stopped immediately.
Yeah.
They have the technology to protect themselves in a way that Palestinians do not. That is why civilians are dying. You know, I've been seeing this annoying article that this is... has what's really been getting my goat all week. There's this article that's been going around, especially on my Facebook wall, I guess, that has been about how Israelis leaflet before they bomb civilian areas, and they've apparently done this since the 40s. I would like to say two things. One is there another nation that could be proud of needing to have leafleted civilian areas before bombing them since the 40s? Because what other nation has been bombing civilian areas as a nation? You know, this is the Israeli government that is undertaking these actions. It's not random wacko groups in Israel. Israel is basically under the control of their Tea Party in this fight. So this is not just like some... It's not like what's going on in the Palestinian side, where it's like some random groups like Hamas that have like a bunch of, you know, like hopeless youth who have nothing better to do involved in them because their lives have gone nowhere, because their families have been displaced for the last 50 years and they have no future ahead of them. It's not what is going on in Israel. In Israel, this is a government action. We're sort of like talking about, you know, a government that needs to leaflet, that has needed to leaflet since the 40s while they've been bombing in civilian areas. That is not something to be proud of.
No.
Also, the leafleting doesn't work, because you leaflet and bomb and then people come back and then they bomb them again. That's what's been going on here. They've also, you know, Hamas, I'm sure, operates out of a lot of civilian areas as part of, you know, to protect themselves.
I'm sure that they do, right.
That's because they're a sort of, like, sneaky independent terrorist group and not a government.
Right.
But because of that, Israel's been... They bombed, like, a center for people with disabilities.
Yep.
They've been bombing some places that don't... And it's hard as Israel to get the kind of bad PR that they have been getting for some of these bombings, because generally the press wants to do nothing but support Israel's, you know, right to do these things. But this is not... about self-determination, and this is not really about their own protection in the way that they're making it seem. This is a response to them going and occupying territory. So
yeah.
they don't get to be victims here. Anyway, that's why I've been pissed all week.
Right.
Because you would think that, like, we, you know, that sort of we were living in, like, 1947, given the way that people are talking about Israel being under attack here. And that is not the reality. And I was saying this to my mom the other day, because every time that, tensions flare up in this region, specifically related to Israel, because Lebanon has had issues like this in the past, yeah, too, where they've had groups in southern Lebanon just, like, randomly sending rockets into Israel, because that seems to be what terrorist groups do. And, like, the Lebanese government has no control over these groups. These are, yeah, a bunch of crazies that everyone wishes would just slow their roll. But one of the things that I think has been difficult about the way that this issue has been framed is that the Israelis sort of seem to feel like they own the concept of victimhood. And I feel like they are, as a people, victims of genocide. I totally get that. My own family is included among those people. Like,
yeah,
that is something I totally get.
Yeah, you're not speaking to this as a person who
But they are creating a new genocide victims, and those new genocide victims are going to have the same problem. Genocide is a problem because it's a problem, but it's also a problem because it makes the next generation into monsters if you aren't careful, because they, you know, because they already sort of, like, have a sort of inflated sense, yeah, of the need to protect themselves,
sure,
and this is not protecting themselves. In any case, that is my rant. I've been furious all week because you can't talk to anyone about this anywhere, because unless you say something complimentary about Israel, you're not allowed to talk to anyone about this issue.
I know.
So I've been just complaining on the phone to my parents all, yep, week, like I do.
Well, now you have a platform.
And now I have a platform.
Soapbox.
We're going to have no more listeners. We're going to be, like, murdered in the streets next week for this. But I had to get it off my chest.
Yeah. Thankfully, John Kerry's going to fix the problem.
Oh, yes.
We're involved now.
We're involved now, as we would be.
Surprised it took this long.
Well, we're paying for it. We might as well be involved.
Let's say. We're indirectly involved.
Which is another reason, already, by the way, that I feel the right to be incensed about this. Is, yeah, it is my tax dollars that are going to pay for this. It's,
yeah,
it's not like I'm just, like, an innocent bystander here.
Right.
But I'm implicated.
John Kerry's going there tomorrow for peace talks.
Yes.
He's leaving nuclear talks.
He's a busy guy right now.
He's a busy guy. Because our next story is sort of
a joke.
It's really a joke. Because we talked about this a long time ago. Remember the whole story with, we were going to, like, enter into talks with Iran. Republicans were really mad because we're like, how can we talk to them? And there was the whole thing with, like, all right, we're going to talk to them about their nuclear program. And it's like, everybody thought that they would dupe us. And, like, you know, this all happened sort of,
mess,
like, when their new government took control. Whatever. Anyway. So, we joked on the podcast a long time ago because they basically, when they first talked about this, all they did was come up with a date that they had to have something decided by.
Right.
As opposed to really enter into any sort of discussions. Well, that date is July 20th, which you may know
is
as a week from yesterday.
Right.
So, guess what they've done? Nothing.
Nothing.
They haven't done anything.
They've had a meeting about a meeting.
Right. So, they're finally having the actual meeting right now, and what they've realized is that nothing has been accomplished since they decided,
no,
to set this date of July 20th, because the whole crux of this problem, which is Iran wanting to be able to have their uranium enrichment capacity so they will be enabled to be self-sufficient in nuclear fuel, that's the sticking point.
Right.
And we've gone nowhere.
We don't want to let
them
do that. They want to do that.
Right.
No one's solved anything,
right,
on that
we
front.
We want to, like, not be able to let them do that, and then that they would be able to have a research scale facility, and they would have to rely on fuel imports from Russia, which is actually who built the reactor that's sort of in,
right,
question. And we're nowhere on that. And, like,
and we never will
be. There's other things that are sort of, like, sticking points, but, like, that's obviously the sticking point.
Yeah.
Like, this is what this whole discussion
has been about.
Is about in the first place. And if we set a date, whenever that was, 6 months ago probably,
yeah,
at this point, or at least months ago.
No, I think it was 6 months ago.
If we are nowhere,
maybe 4 months ago.
If we're nowhere with a week left on this, we will continue to be nowhere on this.
Need,
I don't know what happens.
Well, the
we
same thing that happened
nowhere,
the last time that we had a date. Like, the last time they decided to make their meeting about a meeting instead of making it about a solution.
Right.
This meeting will also be about a meeting.
Well, and
they will use this meeting to plan a future meeting.
Right.
And then we'll just keep having meetings,
right,
for the rest of time.
Well, and
we'll
that's
never
been sort
anything
of a discussion, because they've been talking about whether they want to delay this July 20th deadline, right. but most of the world community is sort of like, well, if we haven't gotten anywhere by July 20th, is there any particular reason to
keep pushing it?
To keep pushing this deadline over a thing that you're never going to solve in the first...
I mean, I wonder if just keeping it in limbo is, like, a thing that we could be doing. Because then we're talking to Iran, we're not at war with Iran. Like, from our foreign policy perspective, right. as people who love to go to war for no reason.
Right, but if we don't figure this out, then, like... Then are we at war with Iran? Like, we're not really necessarily. I mean, they're back to building nuclear,
right.
whatever
then,
they're doing.
But then, we have the John McCain's of the world saying that we should be
right,
at war.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Whereas now, it seems like we're working towards a solution that we'll never reach.
Right.
So we're just sort of like, we have war on hiatus.
Right. Well, Obama is good at pushing things down the road
right.
to not
make
a decision.
And I feel like that has been why that strategy's been in place. Because more that we're pretending that we're talking to Iran about and, like, working on solving right. these issues, the more that we're not having to listen to John McCain talk about bombing them.
Right, exactly. Well, probably not.
Still mention it, but, like, he won't...
Come July 20th, whether we push the date
right.
or not,
we're
probably going to have to
We're going to have to listen to him
yeah.
talk about this. But, I mean, then it seems like we're doing something constructive. The administration can be like, no, we can't
right.
bomb them. We're working with them.
Right, you can send
we
John
like
Kerry
them.
To talk to somebody every
right.
once in a
so
while.
Right, so John Kerry can go in and...
Keep up appearances.
He can go to Vienna on his way to Israel. There'll always be a need for that.
right.
You know, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
You know, he's... Because, like, what's he gonna... Like... What's he going to do when he gets to Israel? The same thing. He's not going to solve a problem while he's there. The UN has asked Israel to please stop doing this,
right.
you know, and the most other foreign leaders have as well, and that's solved nothing.
Not
I don't know why we're going to be like, oh, hey,
I
guys.
Yeah.
Hello, friends. Like, that's basically what we're... So, like, he's just on a tour of nothing right now. He's just on a tour to nowhere. Just touring bomb shelters around the world.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Meanwhile, we're apparently spying on our good friends, Germany.
God. Like, what is this? We already got in trouble for listening to Angela Merkel's
right.
cell phone calls.
So they were already on the lookout for us to be spying on them. Because
right.
we're spying on the leader.
Yeah.
So, like, that seems like... Like, once you're spying on the chancellor, it seems like you could be spying on anyone.
Yeah.
And we are.
That's exactly what we're
That's
doing.
That's what we're
yeah.
doing. The CIA's Berlin station chief got told to leave the country because there were two employees, I think of the German government, that were convicted of spying for the U.S.
yeah.
With Germany.
Yeah, double agents.
Guys.
Come on. Like, get up to this maybe in Iran.
Yeah.
like,
right?
That's what I mean.
But also, you know, if you're going to be doing this, send the good guys to Germany. Germany will be able to tell. It's not a mess in Germany right now. Everything's
yeah.
going swimmingly in Germany. They don't...
You can't sneak one over on
you
them.
You can't sneak one over on them. You got to be careful. They're very organized people over there. You don't send just, like, random Joe Show spy up
no.
to be in Germany.
Yeah, and you don't want to fuck with Angela Merkel either.
No. She's scary.
She's scary.
She's
send... like, palling around with Vladimir
yeah,
Putin. And
she doesn't.
She's, like,
the woman is from East Germany, guys. She's from East Germany. She's not to be fucked with.
No.
She's a Soviet German. That's the scariest combination of things I can possibly imagine.
right, I know.
So... Let's send somebody on deeper
qualified.
Cover. Qualified. Someone qualified.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
She said that it probably wasn't going to endanger any free trade agreements and that sort of thing, because, like, they're not trying to fuck with us on that.
No.
But, like, also, she's, like, sort of pissed, and I'm just sort of scared
obviously.
On a personal level that she's that pissed.
I know. Me too.
It seems like it's not a good idea ever to build up bad blood with Germany.
No.
They don't fuck around when it comes to it.
Obviously. God. Have we not learned this lesson before?
We've learned this lesson. I've learned this lesson.
Oh, right. God.
But apparently the CIA, they just like to be sneaky. They think they're indestructible because they're so, you know, just walking around.
Newsflash.
They're not. You don't put one over on Germany.
No.
In any case, the other hilarious thing that happened this week.
Oh, God. This is just a dream.
And this is the most hilarious thing that happened all week. Because everything else we've discussed has actually been really tragic, and it's not at all hilarious.
Yeah.
But
we've been laughing a lot about
right.
it, but man, we shouldn't have been.
But we're just really hyped up, I think. Because it's after work, and it's Monday night.
Yeah, you ballet dance.
I went to
earlier.
Ballet. I have a lot of energy right now.
Yeah.
We're trying to get through this to get to dinner. But this is truly funny.
Yes.
Rick Perry wrote this op-ed in the Washington Post
mm-hmm.
about how annoyed he... It's like a running for president op-ed, where he's
totally.
Just, like, commenting on foreign policy totally unnecessarily
yes.
because he can.
No one cares what he thinks.
He's the governor of Texas. He
certainly
doesn't,
not about foreign
we
policy.
We don't pay him to think about foreign policy.
No, and we should never do it.
We shouldn't, because basically what happened is... So he attacks Rand Paul for being sort of vaguely isolationist,
yes.
as we know he is, because Rand Paul is very much against randomly invading things.
Right.
And specifically about Iraq is what he's referring to in this situation, because Rand Paul was sort of like, let them work their shit out.
Yeah.
And Rick Perry wants to immediately invade, as you might imagine.
Yeah.
But he gets sort of off track mid-op-ed. So it starts with him talking about, you know, calling Rand Paul's policies disheartening, and saying that Rand Paul is saying that we should ignore what's happening in Iraq, and that inaction doesn't work, and blah, blah, blah. And then he gets mad because Rand Paul said that Republican hero Ronald Reagan would agree with him.
Oh, no.
And Perry was not going to stand for that.
Drama.
He was not going to stand for that.
No, he wasn't at all.
So
this Perry, is where I went off track.
So Perry kind of takes this left turn, or right turn.
This is not this is not an A in rhetoric course paper that he's writing.
Certainly not. Here. He takes a turn, and basically the whole op-ed turns into a discussion of how Reagan bravely fought communism.
Yeah, which is not what we're doing right now, by the way.
Not at all. And then he sort of ends on a Reagan flourish about how Reagan would have led from the front, not from behind.
Yes.
And when he drew a red line, the world knew exactly what that meant.
Oh, that's an Obama knock right there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Syrian red line.
I know.
The infamous Syrian red line.
I know.
Oh, boy.
But in any case, so Rick Perry, super pissed that Rand Paul tried to appropriate Republican hero Ronald Reagan for his own goals.
Yeah. So which Rand is what Paul, he has
Which
now
is
done.
What he has now done. Right. But you don't take Reagan's name in pacifist vein. That's not what you do.
No.
So then Rand Paul writes a response back
fired
on like
back.
Politico. Yeah, fire in the language of Politico. He fired back. Uh-huh. Saying
shot across the bow.
Exactly. Saying, quote, that Perry's new glasses haven't altered his perception of the world or allowed him to see it any more clearly.
He does have fancy new glasses.
He has fancy new glasses,
these? He has, like, hipster glasses
on. It's his metrosexual glasses.
It is, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then calls his op-ed a fictionalized account of what's going on that mischaracterizes Paul's views. Because Rand Paul's views are basically...
Well, they're Ron Paul's views.
They're
which
Ron
is
Paul's
why you just said Ron Paul.
Exactly. But, so. No, but basically...
He didn't make up his own views.
His actual quote, basically, is just about how no one has any plans or ideas.
Well,
because the quote is, in fact, some of Perry's solutions for the current chaos in Iraq aren't much different from what I've proposed, something he fails to mention. His solutions also aren't much different from President Barack Obama's, something he also fails to mention. Because, interestingly enough, there aren't that many good choices right now in dealing with the situation in Iraq. That's true.
Which is what everyone pretty much collectively agrees upon.
Exactly. So, basically, Rand Paul is angry... It shot back to the anti-Reagan comment with a pro-Obama comment.
Yeah.
Showing that Rick Perry's actually more aligned with Obama than he would like. If he thinks he's so aligned with Reagan, wait till he sees what it's like with Obama, because we'll show him.
Yikes.
So in any case, because those are fighting words with the Republicans.
Right.
You don't.
I mean, Rand Paul
say
has
that
been...
that Ronald Reagan would have approved of something that you don't think that someone else might think Ronald Reagan might not have approved of.
Yeah.
That can really get you in trouble.
Yeah. That's like when Christians talk about Jesus. When the left and right talks about, like, who owns Jesus.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, this has the distinct, like, sort of sense of, like, one of those, like, because Ronald Reagan's dead. We don't know what he would have thought about what we should do about ISIS. We'll never know. But this has, like, the sort of, this is like listening
he
to Christians argue about what the Bible says.
Yeah.
There's, like, definitive examples of that you can sort of assume God might have thought certain things about certain things because the Bible says it.
Right.
But, like, God was a complicated guy who was busy. Jesus Christ lived a long life full of stories of various sorts. Other biblical people were also living, you know, profiting around. There's a lot said. We can't know how much of it applies to our current world.
No.
And just Ronald Reagan, similar problem.
Right.
We can't know what he would have thought because he's not here.
No.
Rick Perry believes that he would have wanted to immediately invade Iraq.
Yeah.
I buy that.
Sure.
Rand Paul believes that Ronald Reagan wouldn't have wanted to be a rash idiot. I don't buy that, but I buy it. You know, like I buy that Ronald Reagan's not as stupid as George Bush.
Right. Correct.
He's evil and different as Rick Perry. Same difference.
Right.
But I buy that, you know, he wasn't as rash. Mm-hmm. Maybe until he had Alzheimer's, and I was ruling with Alzheimer's. But,
but to debate this in
an op-ed.
Between two 2016 presidential contenders about what Ronald Reagan would have thought about we were supposed to be doing in Iraq right now is just
it's
a ridiculous proposition to be having.
I am fascinated by this, the sort of slow and fast rise of Ronald Reagan's, like, because Ronald Reagan is becoming sort of like a Kim Il-sung, or Kim Il-sung, you know, the original guy from North Korea. Not sure. Kim Jong-il, but Kim yeah. Il-sung, or Kim Jong-sung, or whatever, the first guy.
Yeah.
The guy who was, like, not as terrible as the rest of them. Right. But he's becoming, like, a god to them.
Yeah.
Not, like...
No,
and,
he totally
and
is.
And it sort of has been a slow build, because for a while he was alive, so we couldn't speculate about what he was thinking, because mm-hmm. he was there thinking crazy Alzheimer's thoughts. And then for a while, Nancy was alive. And
right.
I mean, Nancy is alive, isn't she?
Is she?
No, she died. I can't remember.
I don't know.
Nobody knows. She's really old.
That's terrible. She would have to be.
Yeah. But in any case, she was, you know, sort of carrying on the legacy for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And but they've, like, canonized him.
Yeah, oh,
like,
totally.
In a way that has...
Yeah.
Now they're having theological arguments about what Ronald Reagan would have thought about what to do about Iraq.
Yeah.
That's what's happened here.
Yikes.
It is fascinating, but also terrible.
Totally. Anyway... Rand Paul.
Rand Paul.
Winner in that.
Winner.
Argument, I think. I had already been thinking Rand Paul had been doing a lot of sense-making, which has been sort of, like, bothering me. But,
right.
like, when that matched was... when matched up in a, you know, intellectual argument with Rick Perry...
Listen, Rick
that's,
Perry.
That's... Don't get involved.
It's cute that you tried. Like, but, like, don't take... Of all the contenders that you could have taken on...
Yeah.
Take on somebody easier, take like Ted Cruz
with,
or somebody.
I was going to say, take issue with something that Sarah Palin has said.
Yes,
something.
Everyone will... Everyone is willing to get
thinking,
into that
he's
debate.
He's thinking the same thoughts as her, though, is the problem.
No, he can't. He can't debate her.
Right.
He's... I mean, there's somebody easier to debate. Like, Rand Paul is tough because he's coming from a very centrist point of view on foreign policy. He's so crazy on everything else.
Right.
There's nowhere for him that's, like, making sense. But, like, don't have the guy that has the most mass appeal be the guy that you try to take down with the Reagan argument.
No, that's not what you do.
Use the Reagan argument on someone easier. In any case, speaking of Rick Perry, we're still talking about him.
Yeah.
Because he obviously is the governor of Texas, where we're having a massive yeah. influx of
child...
We have
a border with Mexico down there,
undocumented. Yeah, I don't know if you heard about that.
Right.
And we have had this massive influx of Central American children
right.
coming undocumented into the country, and no one knows what to do about it. And we're sort of, like, just holding them and trying have no plan.
Yeah.
So Obama went down to Texas because he wants to request emergency funds. He wants to request $3.7 billion right. in emergency funding to deal with them, because these are children. So it's not like adults where you just sort of stick them in some sort of deportation center and, like, can't, you know. You got to, like, do more for the kids.
Right.
You got to find somewhere to... give them back to, if you're going to try to give them back. You can't just send them back to Mexico where they are not from. So,
right, exactly. Well, and you can't. I mean, we have a law on the
books. Right, we have a law on the books that makes it very difficult to deport unaccompanied children.
Right, unaccompanied children, and specifically unaccompanied children from places that aren't Mexico. From places that we don't share a border with.
Right.
It makes it, we have a specifically harder law.
Right, as we should.
For that reason. Right, exactly. You can't just sort of, like, take them back across the border, and they're also kids, so you wouldn't want to anyway, because
that's
not
mean.
What you would do. Right, exactly.
Like,
which seems to be lost on Rick Perry slash all Republicans.
It is crazy to me, because this is, like, can't we all agree that children are adorable? Like, isn't that a biological imperative that
we all...
We can't,
because we're going to get to a story about a Republican who specifically thinks that they're the opposite
that's true.
Of adorable.
But I mean, like, we are, like, biologically designed to want to protect children.
Right.
So, like, these are not just people who are, like, hearing about the story in the news. These are people that are dealing with this issue firsthand.
Right.
Or secondhand, at least. And, like, it is shocking to me how insensitive they are.
Right. Well,
these
and
are
I
kids.
I think the problem is that nobody is really sort of, like... I realize that we obviously have a problem on the border, but, like, I just don't think that anybody is really... This is obviously a nuanced problem.
Yes.
And no one wants to do any sort of nuanced thinking about it.
Because,
like, you know, you hear all of these reports about, you know, these countries where these kids are coming from, Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala. They're more dangerous than Iraq at the height of the Iraq war was, basically, like, to be living there.
They're
so
terrifying.
So that's a problem, obviously, and it's mostly a problem because of the drug trade that's going on there. So we could deal with this by, you know, dealing with, you know, drugs in this country. We also, Mexico should be dealing with this better, because they are not dealing at all with these kids going through the entire length of the country.
Right. The kids
and
are
they
coming
know,
through Mexico.
They know it's happening.
Exactly.
It's happening because people from Mexico are taking them through so they're not doing anything. We have a border problem on the border that is obviously not it's nuanced.
There's a lot of issues. Things
need dealt with, and I realize that you can't deal with all of those. Like,
no,
in the immediate now, you can't deal with those. But this, I think, speaks to, like, why we need a comprehensive immigration bill that we have been promised
for years and no one can agree on, because we have to focus so much on building walls.
Right.
Like, obviously, that has obviously been what everyone who, on the GOP side, who has heard about this request for emergency funding has immediately thought to themselves.
Right. We have to secure the border first. Right.
Yeah. Like, no. The border is not going to ever be fully secure. It's a huge border. It borders a country that has terrible violence and poverty issues. It's not going to be secure.
That is a connector from other countries who have terrible gang violence and poverty issues.
We're not going to be able to seal Mexico off.
No.
So, like, stop thinking we don't want to. That's crazy.
That's crazy.
There are neighbors. There are people that live in Mexico that go to school in Texas. Like, when you live on the border, you live in a between state anyway. It's not worth sealing Mexico off to prevent undocumented people from coming here.
Right.
America was built on immigrants coming here. This is not really the problem.
No.
You know? But, in any case, so Rick Perry and a lot of other Republicans have basically decided that this emergency funding doesn't offer enough money towards border security.
Right.
It's just funding for dealing with the problem instead of building an unnecessary wall and having militias patrol the area, which is not what they're in the market for at all.
No.
So
because Rick Perry wants, like, Obama to send National Guard down there.
Right.
He wants, like,
Rick Perry has decided that we should basically arm every person on the border.
He wants to...
And then just have, like, a militia showdown every time some poor child from Honduras who's escaping horrific violence wants to come across the border.
Right.
Like, which is crazy.
It's not a plan.
That's not a plan.
No.
Not a plan at all. This is a problem that's going to take money to solve. Because we have to take care of these children. They're children.
Yes.
Like, it would be really inhumane to just not do anything.
Right.
But this is a problem that's not going to go away unless the problem that started it goes away, which is the violence and the, you know, the what is basically terrorism at this point.
To deal
from the
with,
drug trade and from gang violence of other sorts.
Right. We have to deal with the root problems for this to end. And it's not going to end immediately because it just... can't.
And but, this I mean, didn't, like, I know that this sort of, like, recently became to everyone's knowledge. This didn't start a week ago, though. This has been
of
a slow
not.
Build. This has been going on for years.
Right. And the reason that it has been, you know, building to this point is because, A, the violence there has gotten worse.
Right.
And B, you know, I think on some level, since it's the easiest way for these people to leave. And so, I mean, like, it's hard. It's not easy.
Right.
But, I mean, what else do they do? You can't stay there.
No,
I mean,
exactly. I think especially speaks to, like, the fact that it's so many children coming unaccompanied speaks to sort of, like, how sort of desperate everyone has gotten. People are sending their children unaccompanied to America. That's not a thing people aren't trying to give their children to other countries randomly.
That's not what's
happening out in the world.
No.
Like, that is a sign that
that's
things
like
are pretty fucking desperate.
Effort. Right, exactly.
They're not sending their kids here so they can make money.
No.
You know, it's not like when your father moves to America to try to make it and sends money back home to wherever. That's not what's happening here. People are sending their kids here for safety reasons.
Well,
they are refugees.
I was just about to say that.
Like,
and that's what that has been sort of like a new word that I feel like Democrats have been using. And I find it highly appropriate.
This is the right time to use it.
I think, you know, in sort of like the broad sense of the word, it doesn't fit exactly like what have designated like
the definition of a refugee is.
But like, we don't have to care about what the exact definition of refugee is because
no,
like, these
a refugee
people are,
is coming someone who's coming here for their own safety. That's what these people are doing.
Right, exactly.
So obviously Rick Perry's plan instead, after he wants to arm the border with National Guardsmen to like, I don't know, shoot the kids.
Yeah,
or
shoot the kids on their way.
But then he also there's a 2008 law that we were referencing earlier that makes it easier harder to deport unaccompanied children.
Right.
He wants to take
that
law off the books.
Yep.
Make it super easy to
just
send them back to wherever.
Right.
So they can just be unaccompanied in Honduras instead of here.
That's right.
Where at least they won't be shot by
drug traffickers,
although they might be shot by militiamen at this point, because whatever our plan is in Texas, I'm sure it involves lots of guns.
Obviously.
That's
the only answer.
Meanwhile, the head of the House Homeland Security Council, Michael McCaul, a Texas Republican, was on Fox News this Sunday, and he had been to these facilities, at the border with Mexico, and said that he he saw some teenagers there that looked like threats. He said, yes. It's very heart-wrenching as a father to see that, mothers with their babies. But then he adds, I also saw some 17-year-olds that I thought looked more like a threat.
Well, they're brown.
Yes.
So
brown 17-year-olds. That's the definition of threat to a Texas Republican.
That's right.
That's it. Yeah. But he also, like Perry, wants all of these appropriations to go to border security, which is not going to solve this problem.
Right.
It's just going to explode the problem. Because if we don't address the fact that we have to figure out how to deal with these kids, then why are we spending more money at all? What are we going to do with them?
Yeah.
Kids need stuff. They need food. They need parents.
Right.
They need clean underwear.
They need underwear, as we talked about a couple weeks ago.
Right.
Yeah.
But he also is sort of like in denial about what you do when a bunch of desperate children are coming across the border.
Yeah.
So everyone in Texas is not, you know, surprisingly, being horrible.
Yeah.
And they're all, I think also Rick Perry is trying to run for president, so he's got an especially complicated thing to deal
with. He's trying to not shake Obama's hand. There was a whole situation
there was like
last
a weird,
week
the
where
tarmac.
He was like, you can't be, if you're running for president, you can't be photographed with the president.
Right.
So, I mean, so half the people running for Democratic senator right now don't want to be photographed with the president, which is sort of a tragic thing. But
yeah, that's so he's like trying. He's like trying to have secret meetings with Obama instead of public meetings with Obama, and like Rick Perry, you aren't going to be president. Stop it right now.
It's not happening for you.
Like, sorry about it. You got to run Texas.
That's it.
Can't you have that?
It's one of the bigger states.
But this is crazy. I think because this is. Like, this is going to continue to be an issue for the next couple years. It's going to be on everyone's mind.
Yeah, it's not going away.
It's not going to endear them to Hispanic voters.
Obviously. Hello.
Which, like we have been saying for a while, I mean, Arizona is going to go blue at some point. I think Texas is going to go blue at some point, too.
I mean,
and this is the kind of bullshit that's going to make that happen.
Absolutely.
Like,
100%.
This is so, children? Really, guys?
I know.
Like, this is so insensitive, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It is bananas town bonkers.
Yes.
So, in any case, good luck, GOP, in the 2020, you know, elections whatever.
Well, and the other thing I want to mention about here, too, when you were talking about them being refugees, when we think about refugees, we think about millions and millions of people sort of, like, leaving, like, a war-torn country.
Right.
We have 50,000 children that we have to deal with. We don't have... You know, millions of people who were run out of their country by terror. We have, like, you know, we have kids who were ushered here. Granted, some of them are adults and some of them are mothers and things. But, like, we're not... To think that we don't have the ability to deal with 50,000 kids that have come across the border is just...
ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. And it's fucking... Also, like, if we want to talk about things that Jesus would or wouldn't have liked...
Right.
Would not have liked... shooting the children as they come across the border. And if you don't
certainly
shoot them,
not.
He wouldn't have wanted to send them back either. I'm appropriating Jesus in this argument. So
well,
the Republicans
they were appropriating
could just
Reagan
fucking
earlier.
Handle it, right?
You
I
just
can do whatever
you
I want.
You can do anything you want.
I go to church.
Yeah, that's right. Why not?
Yeah.
Show them.
There, I just did it.
You just did it.
Yeah.
No, this has been such a... Because it's such a... It's not... It's like a fairly black and white issue. You have a bunch of kids escaping horrific violence. You know... That is sort of what we have in this hemisphere instead of terrorism like they have in other hemispheres.
Yeah.
You know, we have drug violence, we have gang violence, we have types of violence that we can't really imagine here that are going on right now in Central America that are politically motivated a lot of the time, mm-hmm. that are economically motivated, and that's what we have instead of Hamas.
Right.
So we need to deal with it as if we are dealing with Hamas refugees.
And count ourselves lucky.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Like, anyway, moving on.
But Sarah Palin enters the scene, and all of this stuff that's happening on the border right now is enough for impeachment.
Yes, as you might imagine.
Wait, what?
As is the case when anything happens anywhere.
Right. Whenever
it immediately
anything happens,
points to impeachment.
I mean, like, I get that, like, everybody loves to talk about impeaching the president of the other party. I mean, Democrats talked about it with George Bush. Granted, there was that pesky little thing, you know, like, called war crimes that he probably could have been impeached for. We were talking about real things at that point.
We weren't talking about someone being too humanitarian.
No, that wasn't it. But she's not having it.
No mas.
No mas. That's exactly what she said. I'm sure she thought she was really, she'd been sitting on that for a while, mm-hmm. I bet, probably. But, you know, she said, without borders, there is no nation. Obama knows this. Opening our borders to a flood of illegal immigrants is deliberate. Ooh. This is a thing that she and Rick Perry have both been saying.
Yes.
Like, this is to highlight, it's on purpose. To highlight our illegal immigration problem and to, like, win electoral votes yeah. with the Hispanic population. We're just, like, letting all of the, just everyone over the border willy-nilly, which is like, the craziest
thing ever. Ridiculous.
That's a ridiculous notion.
Especially anyway. From a president who's been just, like, deporting up a storm
his entire presidency. He's deporting more than anybody, like, any other president.
This is a man who's not letting people randomly stay here.
Right, exactly. That's
no
not
reason.
His, not his jam.
No, it's not his jam no. at all.
Anyway. She said, this is his fundamental transformation of America. It's the only promise he has kept.
Except for healthcare reform, which is another promise
right,
that he's
exactly.
kept.
And lots of,
and a bunch of other things.
Right. Tons.
Right.
Really. Yeah.
Right.
She said, it's time to impeach. And on behalf of American workers, oh, she's a real, she's other people now. She's
yes.
standing up for workers.
She's a populist.
And legal immigrants of all backgrounds. We should vehemently oppose any politician on the left or right who would hesitate in voting for articles of impeachment. So she's also taking her political, you know, power out there. And
yes.
she's not gonna be attached to anyone who is not in favor of impeachment.
No, we'll not do it.
She's going to be hard-pressed to find people to speak for this campaign cycle, I think, probably.
I know.
Because, like...
Thank God.
That is not a winning argument. And
no.
Republicans everywhere are basically wishing that she would shut the fuck up about this.
Yeah,
because
this makes them look so bad.
It makes them look so bad. And if there is a way to gin up a sad, tired, you know, apathetic Democratic base right
yeah.
now, and
that
a whole slew of African Americans who aren't going to vote in the midterm elections,
yeah. like,
it's
this
talking
is
about
it.
Impeaching Obama.
Yeah.
So God bless her.
Let's
I mean,
go ahead.
If this is her plan, I'm for it. Let's
yeah.
impeach him.
Yes, right. That's right.
Let's do it. Draw up the articles now.
Yeah.
Vote on it in Congress
tomorrow.
Let's make
them as ridiculous as the one she just named.
Yeah.
I mean, why not? Let's make it happen, guys.
Yeah.
yeah. No, this is... And this is also... I mean, there's such... It's... Republicans are not great. They have historically been great with sort of covert racism. She is just going with full bore, unapologetic racism.
That's it.
That's a great way to get Latina voters really excited about
oh, for sure.
not voting for Republicans as well. Which,
yeah.
as we've said before, is going to be their losing.
Yeah.
You know, issues.
It's
going to
be their downfall.
That's
going to
be their downfall.
Elections. Yeah.
yeah. In all national elections. So, I mean. She's really hitting everything that she's hitting Obama. She's sort of doing it in the name of racism
yeah.
that is specifically targeted against Latinos.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is just, she's got it all
and
there.
Specifically targeted at Latinos and sort of like covertly targeted at African Americans
yeah,
too.
Exactly.
Because, like, I mean, let's face it, this is a black president problem that we're having
yeah,
right
no,
now.
No, this
basically.
Is the kind of problem that you
yeah.
only have
right.
when you have a black president and a country full of racists.
exactly.
This is,
yeah.
That's.
But Eric Holder. God bless him.
Yeah.
Came out. He
Stuyvesant
said,
alum, Eric
oh,
Holder.
Oh, nice.
Went to my high school.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
That's exciting. Anyway, he said, she wasn't a particularly good vice presidential candidate in 2008, and she's an even worse judge of who ought to be impeached and why. Which, he's right.
Yeah, he's
about
right
that,
about that.
Actually.
It's, good.
Yeah.
it's the correct answer.
Yeah. Oh, boy. This is a real freaking doozy, because
yeah.
we talked about this last week. John Boehner's got this harebrained idea to, instead of impeach, because
right.
he's being asked by all the crazy people in his party
impeach
to
Obama.
Impeach Obama, and he knows that he can't do it, because
right.
it's a ridiculous...
There's nothing... You can't impeach him, Freddie.
Right.
What is he going to impeach him for?
So instead of impeaching him, he's suing him,
right.
which there's no precedent for, and, like,
what do you win?
What do you... Who do you... Where
well,
do you...
And
what
how
court
did, like,
this?
Is
where
that different than impeaching him, really? Because,
I mean,
like, it's
no.
just sort of, like, not a real...
It doesn't make any sense. So he had sort of, like, vaguely been talking about, like, you know, Obama's overstepped his bounds, and he's using all of these sort of, like, executive orders
right.
and blah, blah, blah. So
having conveniently forgotten that the last Republican president was, like, the king of signing statements.
Right. But, so, basically, I think what happened was they had to figure out something specifically that Congress, excuse me, had passed a law on that the president had sort of, like,
right.
disregarded. And the only thing that they could come up with hilariously,
oh my God.
Is the Affordable Care Act when Obama delayed the employee mandate. And so it just, that's what they're suing him for, which is just genius, because they voted 50 times to basically axed the whole entire thing. And now they're suing him for not implementing it fast enough.
I mean,
because he ignored the law. The law was that the mandate was going to go into effect on such and such a date, and he delayed it. And so he's making his own laws, and that's against the Constitution. He's making up, he's just writing his own laws from the Oval Office, willy-nilly doing whatever he wants to do. For the Affordable Care Act. That's what they're suing
for. For not implementing the Affordable Act on the schedule that they had agreed to.
That they tried to stop
50 times.
Like, it's just perfect. It couldn't be any better.
Like, here's a question. Was there not any other law on the books anywhere at any time in the last 6 years?
Apparently
that they could find that was not this specific? Well, they haven't passed any other law, so I guess that's why.
That's true.
But, like, isn't that a moment where you're sitting there and someone's like, you know, we could do this, and you're like, let's not go there.
Right. Well, it still
that's
has
what you
to,
say. You say, let's to, not go there.
I have a feeling that this is it. This has to get out of committee. I think this dies pretty quickly.
This is not a real thing.
It's not a real thing. It's going to die, obviously, I think, when it comes to the whole House. It obviously goes nowhere in the Senate. Also, but is it a law that they're passing to sue the president?
I know.
Like, what do they have to do? Like, if John Boehner just wants to sue the president,
personally
like,
sue the president for violating the Constitution?
I don't understand all the workings of this.
No.
I'm not convinced that John Boehner understands the workings of this
Well,
either,
he's made up this plan, so it's he's making up the workings of it.
It's a harebrained plan that he has going on. But, I mean, it's too ridiculous to even be given a thought.
It's not too ridiculous to be given a thought. It is like the sort of perfect example of the Republicans not understanding irony. It is sort of like everyone should be giving this a thought. The entire nation should. This better get out of committee because
let's talk about it.
This is like a story that was written for the Daily Show without anyone needing to editorialize. Like this is just like a joke before it gets out of the gate.
Yeah,
let's go all the way to the top with it. Let's all talk about
it. Have hearings.
Supreme Court. Let's do it.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. This is the moment at the meeting when someone's like, actually, guys, let's think about this for a moment.
No.
Someone at the meeting has to be that guy. If you need to hire a Democrat to be that guy, you do it.
Right.
Because you just need...
Let them explain to you why this is hilarious.
Let them explain to you why this is hilarious. And move on with your life.
Could that be our job? We both had that thought at the exact same moment. Just telling Republicans what is too ridiculous to be doing, to getting up to.
Anybody, a kindergarten class could have known this.
Right.
They need to hire us, though, for other things that are too hilarious to be doing.
Right.
They're up to a lot of that.
Oh, big time.
Big time.
Oh, man.
In any case.
But, oh, man, what they feared is happening, though.
Yeah, what we said would happen is happening.
Well, and Democrats everywhere said this, basically, is that the Republicans were trying to get the Affordable Care Act thrown out before it was implemented, and everyone realized that they were going to love it and that it worked. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. 74%.
We have math proof.
Yeah, math proof. 74% of newly insured Republicans liked their plans. This is, the Commonwealth Fund just did a report on this.
Yeah.
73% of the people who bought health plans and 87% of the people who registered for Medicaid said they were somewhat or very satisfied with their new coverage. And 77% of the public that had insurance before last year's rollout were content with their coverage.
Right. So remember all those people who like had to get new plans because they couldn't stay on their old plan? They're still happy with their new plan.
Yeah. 77% of them.
They're fine.
Pleased as punch.
Yep. That's right.
Meanwhile, the percentage of adults younger than 65 who lack insurance dropped 5%. So people are getting insurance, uninsured people are buying insurance, insured people are continuing to have insurance, everyone is happy with the insurance they now have. Success. We did it.
Surprise, surprise.
And these people include Republicans.
Republicans. Three quarters of them.
Couldn't be any happier.
Nope.
That's a resounding yes to Obamacare.
That's right. That's it.
So everything that we told you about how it would work as soon as it worked is true.
Happened.
And anytime, by the way,
clairvoyance knows no bounds.
This is what would happen with a single payer plan, too. Obviously.
Well, I mean,
but like this is why I feel like it's not.
Those numbers would be higher.
Way higher. I feel like 99%. But this is why no one. This is why no one can let a law like that. We can't experiment with a law like that. You know, this is why no one will let that happen. This is why what's happening in Vermont is that every lobbyist in the country who's ever worked for an insurance company has flooded into the state to try to stop it before it starts.
Because
they're trying to figure out how to fund it and like what the actual mechanism will be. And like, instead of just letting it go on, everyone's like, we got to stop it before it starts. People are going to fucking love this shit.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh.
They do. They will. Meanwhile,
Citibank is out $7 billion to the federal government.
Yeah,
which is great for all of their crappy mortgages.
Yeah, that bullshit
for
nonsense.
Taking us into the financial crisis in 2008 that we went to for writing all those bad mortgages.
Like $7 trillion.
I mean, hello.
Like $7 billion dollars.
But
that seems
they're
child's play.
This is a good sign. I mean, sure,
yes.
You're right. $7 trillion probably. You know, JP Morgan Chase had to pay. We talked about this on the podcast. $13 billion last year. So, and it doesn't, just because they've settled doesn't mean that they can't also be charged for criminal charges.
Yeah.
That probably won't happen because that's just not happening.
No, but at least
happening.
We've set
a
precedent of suing these banks for this kind of activity.
Yeah. So, and $500 million, it's going to state attorney generals and the and the FDIC, and then the remaining money...
$2.5 billion is going to go to consumers who had problems with the mortgages.
Some
of it's going
back
to consumers,
which is great. So
as it should.
Yeah,
we bail them the fuck out.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly. I mean, come on, guys.
Come on, guys.
Really?
Of course, we haven't passed anything that will prevent them from engaging in this sort of activity in the future. So you know, hopefully, good luck, everybody.
Yeah.
Be smart. Buy a smart mortgage.
Yeah.
Learn about math.
Exactly. So back to healthcare news.
And don't take medical advice from Pat Robertson.
Oh, God. Just don't do it.
Some life advice from us to you.
Right.
Learn a little math.
Right.
And then also, do not write to Pat Robertson with your health
problems. I was going to say, don't ask him for it.
Right.
I mean, the woman who wrote this email to the 700 Club, to Pat Robertson, is not doing herself...
She set him up to give the answer that we knew he would get.
Right. She's not doing herself or her son any favors. I think it was her
or
son,
her country.
Right? Right. Exactly. Right.
Or her
humanity.
Earth. Right.
Yeah, exactly. So she sent this woman... named Diane, emailed Pat Robertson, and she... Exactly,
I don't know who else is... I know a lot of Dianes, and they're all lovely people.
I know, exactly, yeah.
But this Diane read differently for some reason.
God. Anyway, so she emails him. She says, "My son said it felt like something hit him very hard in the stomach. I know this is not of God. He's a Christian. Can Christians be attacked by demons?" Stomach pains. He had stomach pains.
It's not a kidney stone. It is definitely a demon attacking.
I was
going to
say, based on having the exact same amount of medical advice as Pat Robertson, could be appendicitis.
Right.
Could be kidney stones.
It could be gas.
Stomach flu. It could be gas. Could be. We just gave all good
reasonable
reasons,
things to
medical
check
advice.
Out.
Better medical advice than demons, which is what Pat Robertson told her. Because Robertson responded, and he said, "You need to get somebody with you who understands the spiritual dimension and doing spiritual warfare.
Do not see a doctor.
Don't sit whatever you do, under no circumstances, don't go to the ER, don't do anything. If I were you, I would look back in your family. What in your family? Do you have anybody involved in the occult? Somebody in witchcraft or tarot cards or psychic things? Get some people in there and cast this stuff out. Cast the demons out.
Get a Wiccan in there.
Right. I would suggest antibiotics, potentially.
Maybe.
But
You have appendicitis, I would suggest surgery, because otherwise you're going to die.
No.
If you have kidney stones, that's another good time. See if you can pass them. If not, that's another surgical procedure.
Need to get Bobby Jindal on the case immediately.
Oh, totally.
Right?
Christine O'Donnell.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yes.
Maybe
she dabbled in witchcraft.
Her Wiccan background.
He's an exorcism specialist.
Yes.
I mean... There's a lot of people
out there who
they
could
call.
Yeah.
That aren't doctors.
No, exactly. That will definitely not solve this problem for them.
Nope. Not even close.
I mean.
And final story. And this has all the stories.
This is everything.
It has God. It has math.
It's everything we've talked about.
We want people to learn math. Don't learn this math.
No.
We want you to learn math, but we don't
math
want you to.
It's complicated.
Not Christian math.
I know. I had some issues with calculus when I took it. I'm not gonna lie to you.
You and
about
I are
that.
Both non-math doers.
We're not
We've
big math
this
people.
On many,
I went
many
to a math
occasions.
And science high school.
Yeah.
I was supposed to be really good at math, and for a long time I was, and then I just sort of fell off the boat.
Yeah.
It's
That's
all right.
What happened.
That's what happens. Sometimes you just stop being good at math one day. And maybe that's why I don't understand this equation.
Well,
but Louis Gohmert.
It's not why.
was speaking at a prayer rally called Celebrate America.
Yes.
In D.C. And was talking about an exchange with Bob Murphy, who's
a Texas entertainer,
whatever
like,
that
what
means.
Is that? What is that?
About disproving atheism.
Yeah.
And said, Bob Murphy used to say, "You know, I feel so bad for atheists. I do. Think about it. No matter how smart they think they are, an atheist has to admit that he believes the equation, nobody plus nothing equals everything."
Oh.
I'm a professed atheist. And I'm going to go on the record as saying I'm not sure what that equation means.
I think I get it, but it's not I mean, it's not right.
They're saying that you believe, because you don't believe in God.
Right.
You believe that no entity plus no entity, right. I guess, has created the world.
No humans plus no God equals where we are on Earth.
Now,
currently. Where
that falls apart is that atheists are not
Tell
in the business.
Tell me specifically where, because I'm curious.
They're not in the business of denying that humans exist.
No. Oh, I see.
And everything, or the Earth.
Right.
None of the things that they're claiming that atheists are denying, aside from a higher power, atheists are denying nothing in the tangible world that exists.
Right.
They're not even denying things in the intangible world, because atheists are big science people a lot of the time.
Right.
So, this equation, I feel like, unless what he's saying is that they're saying that no God plus no God equals everything.
I think that can't be right, right? No, I don't think that's... No, because that would imply there's two gods.
No, that's why I'm confused.
And that is really not what they would want to be doing.
No,
they might accidentally be doing it.
That's why I'm
in
confused.
This fuzzy
like, is
map,
it like
but...
no God plus no belief equals everything? I want to know what the two things are, because this is a fairly straightforward math equation. This is of the 2 plus 2 equals 4 mold.
It is. It's not hard. There's no X variable here.
No, this isn't calculus.
No.
I was good at math at the time that we went over this kind of
so
math.
So was I.
Yeah. I was scoring hundreds all over the place.
I
got into a math and science high school on the basis of that great math knowledge.
I was mathing away up until long division. Then it went downhill.
I was mathing
fourth grade math.
I mathed away up until calculus.
I'm impressed.
So I'm confident...
Yeah.
That this is not a math equation that makes sense.
It doesn't. It's not right.
Anyway, Gohmert goes on to say, how embarrassing for an intellectual to have to say, yeah, I believe that. Nobody plus nothing equals everything.
God.
I've never had to say that.
Mm-hmm. Rapturous applause, I'm sure this got, by the way.
Sure. Very rapturous.
Oh, yeah. Pun.
Unintentional. Intentional pun.
That's right.
In any case, that's some Christian math for you.
Yep. Don't learn that. Learn real math.
Learn real math. Figure out how to get a mortgage you can afford.
Yes.
Don't let Citibank pull one over on you.
Nope.
Don't talk to Pat Robertson about your medical issues. Do not assume the demons are responsible first.
No.
If you can't think of anything else, why not go demon? But, like, don't let that be your first
option.
Exhaust
all your possibilities.
Right. Exactly.
Seek help from the medical community
first. Yeah.
Then call Bobby Jindal.
Exactly.
He's your last call.
And with that, we bid you adieu.
Bye.
Bye.